This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Judge Toll denying Alec Murdaugh a retrial. Is that the end of the story? Probably far from it, but certainly a notable chapter in the saga of Alec Murdaugh. Joining me to discuss the impacts of the denial of that retrial possibility, at least from Judge Toll, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Siobhan, with the testimony that we saw the other day, including a juror flat out saying, yes, Becky Hill's testimony did affect me, and it affected my decision in finding him guilty, but still no retrial. Were you surprised?
I can't say I was surprised, and I'm not sure why that is, other than I just expected, you know, the court there to not necessarily lean toward, you know, the decision that probably would have been better. I also have to say, and in a way, I'm just relieved we don't have to listen to that horrible trial again with all that awful evidence. That's a personal thing for me. That's my bias. It's like, I just don't want to see us all go through that again. But bottom line, we want to know that things were done right. Mm-hmm. And Becky Hill was really a disaster here.
Now, that being said, we want to know that things were done right. Does this show us that things were done right?
Incredibly unprofessional.
Yeah.
And I think that jurors are always influenced by things in the environment and their own prejudices and biases that they're not even consciously aware of. We know that that's true all the time for people. We may think we're not being influenced by something, but we are being influenced by it beneath our conscious awareness. And it's, I think, rather remarkable that that juror was able to be honest and recognize that they did have, there was an influence there.
Did Judge Toll set a bar that was really unreachable for anybody? One of the stipulations was there had to be intent, essentially, from Becky Hill to try and influence the jurors. Of course, Becky Hill is going to say, I did not intend to do that. There's no way we were going to hear her turn around and say something like that. Intent, though, doesn't really matter if it has that sort of an effect. That's why I thought this was a really weird thing to say, or a really weird bar to put on something of, well, what was her intent? What does it matter? I mean, if you go and drive through a crowd of people because you're on your cell phone, you didn't intend to do it, but you did it. So the effects were there. You don't just dismiss someone who does something like that because they didn't intend to do it.
Right, exactly. So it was not based upon any kind of psychological insight about how this would influence people and looking at the deeper layers here. So yeah, it didn't surprise me that the judge did this, but I don't think it was the right decision, unfortunately.
How much of that do we have in our court system where judges, I mean, they're judges, they're not psychologists, they're oftentimes former attorneys and lawyers and all of that, but they don't have the psychological insight that I think many of us would say is the key part to doing the job. Is that something where maybe, you know, I don't know what would change or how to change anything like that, but should that be more of a requirement of the job to have some sort of insight into these areas rather than just kind of, you know, someone's backwoods Southern gut opinion on what they think should be done and how things should be done here in these parts, y'all?
Yeah, you nailed it, really. I have long been an advocate that judges who are involved, you know, which are thousands, involved in child custody cases need to be educated about more about the psychology of the dynamics of what children need and what works best for children. And there are judges who take it upon themselves to study those things and try to do the right thing. But so many times, we have a bias toward, you know, 50-50 custody, and one of the parents is truly unwell, if not dangerous, and the kids are, you know, put in that person's custody half the time. And it's glaring, I think, to clinicians that sometimes this is not safe. It's not in the best interest of the children. And, you know, again, our system doesn't seem to work very efficiently in that regard.
Is there any way to fix that? Because obviously we can't just go get a bunch of judges educated on psychology like that. It'd be lovely if we could. Obviously we can elect people in or they can be appointed if we were to change a system like that. But is there anything, you know, that can be done? I don't necessarily think that Jean Toll needs to be punished for her decision here in this specific case, but there isn't a lot of accountability for judges that right. make horrible decisions that affect the lives of many, many people. I would argue sometimes more so than some of the people who come through their own courtrooms that they're trying to decide cases on.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly do not know how to fix it. It seems like it's a national problem. It's huge. And our system with these, you know, as we've talked about before, these big systems, laws differ from state to state. And it's just unfortunate that there isn't a path for judges to have a little bit more training in psychology and how these things work.
The juror who did testify very clearly stated that, yes, Becky Hill did, in fact, say these things to me, or at least that's how I interpreted them and took them, and that, yes, it did, in fact, have an effect on my decision. The other 11 did not say that they had that same sort of experience. I guess, how is that? Are we dealing with something here where this could, I guess, realistically happen? Or are we dealing with someone who, you know, it's a false memory, or maybe there's some sort right. of, you know, an impact that's been made after the trial thinking, oh, maybe she did say that. I there's a lot of ways that this could yeah. be generated. I do find it odd that there's just one person who had this experience amongst 12 and seemed to really make an impact and the others have no recollection of it whatsoever.
Right. I think that's one of the factors probably in the judge's decision is doubting that person's memory or credibility. But there's enough other evidence, you know, particularly the self-published book, mm-hmm. you know, that Becky had an agenda. And that does make you wonder about other things that were done subtly to influence jurors that they may not really remember or be terribly conscious of.
What kind of an impact could this decision have going forward just on the court system there in South Carolina? Because, I mean, essentially what we saw was, yes, you can influence your jury if you're the clerk of court, apparently, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's kind of one of the takeaways, I think, from this. If a judge thinks that, well, the intent wasn't there, I don't know, it seems to have opened the door a little bit of, well, over in this case here, they found that this person did this, it was even admitted to. I don't know, what kind of impact do you think this could have going forward?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is how often does this happen there? And is it just part of the culture? And it's never addressed because most cases are not so high profile. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me that this is just kind of the way they do it down there. It's very loose.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just more par for the course of, well, we recognized it and this is how we do things here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.